So we turned yesterday to Chav Ches Amid Beis. So we started Chav Ches Amid Beis. Let's just go back to the Mishnah and review what we did yesterday in the Mishnah, at least the last part of Shir. And that was on the bottom of Chav Ches Amid Aleph. And you may recall that at the beginning of the Mishnah, of the first Mishnah in this Perek, we established that Chometz is Osur Ba'anah. And exactly how we derived the Isra Hanon Chometz was a machlok stream Chizkin Avo, Rabbi Avo. According to Rabbi Avo, there's a principle that whenever the Torah says you're Osur Ba'chila, Memele you're Osur Ba'anah. And according to Chizkin, it's derived from the special syntax of Lo Ye Ochel. That teaches you anything that brings to Achila, and that's any Isur Hanon. Now, in the case of Chometz She'avol Ava Pesach, which means that if you have Chometz in the possession of a Jew over Pesach, then that Chometz is going to be Osir after Pesach, both Ba'achila and Ba'anah. And we're going to learn today that that's a Knas that the Rabbanon instituted, a special Knas, because he had no right to leave his Chometz in his Rishus. But the Mishnah establishes that if the chametz belong to a guy, then after Pesach, you're allowed to eat the chametz, you're allowed to benefit from the chametz. There was no violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. And that's what the Mishnah says about chametz shel nochri. Then we started the Gemara yesterday, and the Gemara is going to speak about the fact that, number one, if a person eats chametz on Pesach, not only does he violate a lav, but he also gets kares, because the Torah says ki kol ochel chametz v'nichrasa nefesh ahimi Yisrael. And we're going to have a machlokas tanoim, which is going to be the main feature for today, about achilas chametz on erev Pesach li acher chatzos. Is that a violation of a lav? Is it only in midrabanan asur? We've been assuming until this point, as a davar poshut, that chametz erev Pesach is an isur d'oraisa. So you're not allowed to eat chametz from chatzos and on. The Torah says ach b'yom harishon tashbisu. But nevertheless, we need a lav. It's not enough to say ach b'yom harishon tashbisu, because that's only a mitzvah saseh. If you want to give malkus for eating chametz on erev Pesach after chatzos, you're going to have to quote some sort of a lav in the Torah. And that's going to be a machlokas tanoim. Is there in fact a lav in the Torah that prohibits achil on erev Pesach? Then we're going to have another machlokas about whether chametz on Pesach is osur ba'anah. Once again, we've been assuming until this point that chametz on Pesach is osur ba'anah. Now we're going to learn that that's not so simple. And we'll see the shita. In this case, Rabbi Yossi Aglu says the chametz be Pesach is mutar ba'anah. And the Gemara now is going to start with a question that it's not going to be able to answer for a long, long time. So it's very interesting. The Gemara starts, Mani Masnisen, to whom can we attribute the authorship of our Mishnah? Lokar Rabbi Yehuda, Velokar Rabbi Shimon, Velokar Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And basically what we're going to do now is we're going to embark on a study of these three shitos, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are going to argue about the status of chametz before Pesach and after Pesach. Is there a lav that prohibits achila on erev Pesach? Is there a lav that prohibits achila of chametz she'avol ava Pesach? That's going to be the subject of machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Then we're going to have another machlokes as to whether or not chometz bePesach is osur ba'anah. That's going to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim. So when we get to Ma'ihi, which you'll see three lines above the bottom of Chav Ches Amid Aleph, Ma'ihi, what happens now is the Ma'ihi means let's go through all these three shitos. What are they arguing about? And that's what we're going to embark upon, a study of a braisa. And then at the very end, which is again going to be a long time from now, the Gemara is going to go back and analyze our Mishnah and try to prove that our Mishnah doesn't fit into any of the three shitos, neither of Yehuda, neither of Shimon, nor of Yossi Aglili. So again, keep in mind that this question, Mani Masnisen, those two words, Mani Masnisen, is going to be a question that hangs in abeyance. you know, it's going to be in the up in the, you know, mitlu toli biavir until we finally analyze the three-way machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yossi HaGlil. Tisanya. The Braisa says the following. And the first Tana of the Braisa is going to be Rabbi Yehuda. He's the big machmir. And he says, Chometz bein lifnei zmano, bein liachar zmano, over olav belav. In other words, there's a lotaseh that applies to Chometz before Pesach and after Pesach. We're dealing with a chiv malchus. Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about achilas chametz bePesach, because achilas chametz bePesach during the 7 days of Pesach, that's already a chiyuv kares. There the Torah says v'nichrisa. That far we're not going. It doesn't, right? When it says that shivas yom lo yochel chametz, and then it says ki kol ochel chametz v'nichrisa, that's only if he eats chametz on Pesach itself. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, although the chiyuv kares is limited to eating chametz on Pesach, there's a lav for chametz lifnei zmano, meaning erev Pesach after chatzos, and another lav for chametz she'avrel of a Pesach liachar zmano, over belav tov zmano. If it's during the Pesach, over all of belav v'kares divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So if I would ask you the following question, would you agree with me with the following statement, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah prohibits chametz before Pesach, during Pesach, and after Pesach? Is that true?
Yes,
that's true. Are they all three the same?
No.
Not true. But l'chora, at this point, the only difference that we know of is karis. Meaning,
there's no difference. They're all
karis. No.
Read it again inside. Take a look. It's the last line in Chav Ches Amid Aleph. Right, it says, Liachar Zmano, overall of Belav, Toch Zmano, overall of Belav Vikaris. Do you see the Toch Zmano? So again, although the Torah prohibits Chametz before, during, and after Pesach, there's one difference. During Pesach, the Torah jacks it up to a Chiyuv Kares. Before and after Pesach, it's only a lav, which means that the maximum punishment we can give you is malchus. And that's all Rabbi Yehuda. And now we turn to Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis. This is where we got to yesterday. And we're talking now about Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon cannot deny that chametz during Pesach itself is a chiyuv kares. That's explicit in the Torah. But nowhere, says Rabbi Shimon, do we find in the Torah that the Torah prohibits achila lifnei zmano or liachar zmano. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon omer chametz lifnei zmano v'liachar zmano over ola below klum. That's a funny kind of conjugation. He says you violate nothing, meaning there's no violation. And it's very interesting because we may have Isurim on Erev Pesach, we may have Isurim on Chometz Shavuot Pesach, but they're going to be downgraded to a level of Derabbanan. And with regard to a lav, on a Doraisa level, there is no lav, neither before Pesach nor after Pesach. But Tosmano overlav Bakaris Ubalav. As far as during Pesach, here there's no machlokes. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda both accept the same shita that you get karis.
You can't eat it. We can't.
Before Pesach?
Yeah, you can't eat
on a Doraisa level or on a Drabana level. That's what you have to feel. In other words, there might be a mitzvah tashbisu, right? Ach, chilek. But that's the only thing the Torah says about Erev Pesach. It never says anything about achila on Erev Pesach. I mean, we're going to go through all the limudim, and it's a very complicated sugi of limudim and yalfusas.
What is Rabbi Shimon? You have to bother to say that if you eat it on Pesach, you get kores. I mean, it says in the Torah quite specifically.
Yeah, you're right. But what the Gemara is trying to do is the Gemara is trying to set, you know, in Rav Shimon's frame of reference, set the parameters for the violation of chametz. And the Torah says that you violate chametz during Pesach, and not only that, you incur chiyuv kares. That's just to exclude any other time period when you eat chametz. Meaning, the Torah only speaks about toch zmano. It's Rabbi Yehuda who has a whole bunch of drushes and extra psukim, and he comes up with new lavim in which the Torah has a losa sef for kodem zmano, for liachar zmano. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, I look at the Torah and I see that the Torah says that you're enjoined from eating chametz during Pesach. Not only that, v'nichrasa, but more than that, I don't see. So if you want to break out of the bounds of Shivas Yomim, either toks, either kodem zmano or liachar zmano, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to talk about derabbanos, you know, that maybe the rabbis made a gzera that you shouldn't be eating chametz before a yontif or after yontif. Those are all.
But Rabbi Shimon doesn't have that. So Rabbi Shimon.
Well, no, I'm saying we didn't get to derabbanos now. The whole discussion here is whether or not you violate a lav in Yechayv Malkus
right.
for eating chametz on a doraisa level before or after Pesach. Right. The derabbanos is a whole other ball game because. Like, I'll give you the example of Chomet She'ovel of a Pesach. That's Liachar Zmano. In that case, the Rabbanon are going to institute a Knas, and they're going to penalize you. You know, they're going to say to you, oh, you think you're going to hold on to your Chomet, you're not going to enjoy it until after Pesach. Well, I got news for you. If you leave your Chomet in your possession over the holiday, we're going to clamp upon you a Knas, and we're going to say you're not allowed to enjoy any benefit whatsoever. That's all the Rabbanon. And Rav Shimon is going to agree with that. And Faket, according to you, that don't mean that, because the Torah itself prohibits you with a lav of eating chametz shovel of a Pesach, and you'll get malchus for that. Okay. Now the Brisa adds another statement, and the Brisa doesn't tell you whether or not this last statement belongs to A, Rabbi Yehuda, B, Rabbi Shimon, or both, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. It's kind of like a hanging phrase, and it says the following: Umisha she'asur b'achila, asur b'hana. This is like the last statement in the Brisa, as far as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is concerned, and it would seem. Again, before I read the next line in the Gemara, because the Gemara wedges in a line here, well, not a line, it's only actually three words, but and breaks up the continuity of this Braisa, because the Braisa really continues with Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the question of whether Chometz is Osir Bano or not. So right now, the Gemara, you know, if not for the next three words in the Gemara, so Rabbi Yossi, listen, what I'm about to tell you now is wrong. Okay, I'm telling you right now up front. But what I would have said, if not for the next three words in the Gemara, is the following. That this is a general statement here about Isur Hanah, general in the sense that it includes both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Meaning what? That whenever the Torah prohibits Achila, ipso facto the Torah prohibits Hanah. Now what does that mean? Well, according to Rabbi Shimon, it means during the 7 days of Pesach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it means Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, and Chomet She'ovel of Pesach Liachar Zmano. But take a look at the next three words. The Gemara says, Asa'on L'tanakam. That this last closing line reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And it does not reflect the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And the Rishonim are going to work very hard to figure out, each one l'shitaso, why the Gemara insists that this last piece of Isur Hanah, that belongs to Rabbi Yehuda specifically and not to Rabbi Shimon. So the most famous Shita in explaining this Gemara is that of Tosfos Dibra Maschil Rebbe. You see that Tosfos Rebbe? And Tosis is going to insist that when it says in the Braisa Misha She'asur B'Achila, it's referring specifically to Erev Pesach. Now, if you're going to tell me that Chametz on a Daraisa level became Asur Erev Pesach, then whose Shita willy-nilly are you reflecting?
Rabbi
Yehuda. It can't be Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon doesn't recognize an Isur Achila Midaraisa on Erev Pesach. However, the Brisa, in referring to Erev Pesach, seems to insist that it's also even by non-Erev Pesach. Again, when I say Erev Pesach, I'm not going to repeat myself a million times. I always mean after Chatzos. That statement of chametz being osur b'achila on Erev Pesach includes hanah as well. That's where we exclude Rabbi Yehuda. I'm sorry. That's where we exclude Rabbi Shimon. Meaning that it's not that Rabbi Shimon denies that there's an Isra Achila of Chametz on Erev Pesach. He also agrees there's an Isra Achila on Erev Pesach. However, he's not going to go as far as to generate an Isra Hanno on Erev Pesach. That's the way Tosis is going to learn these three words of the Gemara, Asan Litanakama. Asan Litanakama means that if you're telling me that the Isra Achila on Erev Pesach generates an Isra Hanno as well, that must be Rabbi Yehuda. That cannot reconcile with Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, we can split between Achila and Hanno. And that's going to be the status of Chometz on Erev Pesach. We're not going to allow you to eat Chometz on Erev Pesach, but we're going to allow you to benefit from Chometz on Erev Pesach. Now, Rabosa, at this point, that seems to undermine everything we've been saying in Rav Shimon. Because Rav Shimon just finished saying, if you recall, on the top of the Amud, that Chometz lifnei zmano, eino over alav lo klum. And he seems to be referring to Achila, meaning he never accepted a lav of Achila on Erev Pesach. Now Tosis turns it upside down, inside out, and he says, no, even Rav Shimon accepted an Isra Achila on Erev Pesach. He only rejects the Isra Hanoah. And therefore the Piska, you know, what it says in the Brisa, Mishosh, Asav Achila, Asav Hanoah, that cannot be tolerated by Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon has an Isra Achila alone, meaning without an Isra Hanoah. When? On Erev Pesach. So now the question is, how can you tell me that according to Rav Shimon, there's an Isra Achila on Erev Pesach without an Isra Hanoah? So Tosis says that this Isra Achila without an Isra Hanoah on Erev Pesach is derived from Tashbisu. That the Torah is telling you to destroy the Chametz, meaning the Torah is telling you that you're not allowed to eat the Chametz. And since the Torah says you're not allowed to, you have to destroy the Chametz when? How do we interpret the word ach? Ach by Amarishin. Ach. Chiluk, right? Chiluk, meaning chatzos. At that point, what you have to do is you have to get rid of your Chametz because you're not allowed to eat the Chametz. Now, normally, let's take, for example, Rabbi Avos Shita. Rabbi Avos Shita is that whenever the Torah tells you you're not allowed to eat it, automatically it means you're not allowed to have hanah from it. But that's only when the Torah formulates it b'loshan achila. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the Torah never forbids achila on Erev Pesach with chatzos. It only says you're not allowed to eat it because you have to destroy it on Erev Pesach. But since the Torah didn't formulate it b'loshan achila, therefore there's no Isur hanah involved. Correct. So you're not allowed to eat it, you have to destroy it, but so, you could benefit from
so
it.
So according to Shimon, if you ate it,
if you ate it, you would be in violation of Tashbisu. We'll call it an Isra Aseh. You remember an Isra Aseh? You remember that?
Okay.
From your youth?
Yeah.
It's a very rare commodity. Right. We have it in Yom Kippur, the Nisam Esnafshel Seichem, which is an Isra Aseh. It means, otherwise it's called in the Lashon HaShas in Masechta Max, called the Lav HaBomachal Esay. But again, if it's not formulated in the language of Achila, therefore it doesn't include Hanoah. So now we have a radical change in our understanding of Reb Shimon. When Reb Shimon said that there's no Malkus for Achilas Chometz on Erev Pesach, against Rabbi Yehuda, he wasn't denying that there's an Isra Achil on Erev Pesach. The Torah does have an Isra Achil on Erev Pesach, even according to Rabbi Shimon. He's denying that you get Malchus for violating that Isra Achil because the Torah never formulated a lav. Not only that, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda on another count on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda on Lishitasa, that there's an Isra lav of Achil on Erev Pesach, would extend that to include Hanah as well. Rabbi Shimon would say that if I want to feed my dog on Erev Pesach Chametz, I'm allowed to do so. Now at this point, I want to introduce another shita here, and that's the Baal HaMa'or. The Baal HaMa'or says the following. He says that according to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to eat chametz on Erev Pesach. Why? Because ein lecha hashbasa gedola mizu. Wild. In other words, we've been assuming, according to Tosus, that even Reb Shimon derives an Isra Achil on Erev Pesach from the Pasuk Tashbisu. So Tashbisu means, according to Tosus' understanding of Reb Shimon, some form of destruction of the Chametz. Eating the Chametz is the exact opposite of destroying the Chametz. So there's no way you can reconcile the mitzvah of Tashbisu with Achila. Comes along the Baal Amar and he says just the opposite. Tashbisu is ein lecha, achila is ein lecha hashbasa gedol mizu. That Rabbi Shimon would allow achila on Erev Pesach because that itself is a mitzvah of destroying. So here basically we have machlokas Tosus and the Baal Amar how to define hashbasa. Does hashbasa mean some sort of kilui achefetz? Sometimes you got to destroy the object, or does hashbasa include any method by which the object is consumed? And even if you consume it through eating it, that's also consumption, and that also fulfills the requirement of tashbisu. So let me read to you a little bit here in the footnote here. He quotes the Baal Amar, and he says the following: Ein lefareshes divrei abrais al pesach atzmo shemishah shosra achila haynu mitchilas HaPesach Osir Gamba No. And then it could be Kedas Rabbi Shimon. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree that once Chametz became Osir Bachila on Pesach itself, then it's Osir Bano. Shimkein Hoysa Brisa Shona Betoch Divrei Rabbi Shimon Toch Zmano over all of the Osir Bano. He's saying that if the Brisa meant to tell you that with the inception of Pesach, it's also not only Bachil, but also Banah, which is something that even Reb Shimon could have accepted, then the Brisa should have shortened it, it should have abbreviated it, and it should have said in Rabbi Shimon, Toch Zmano over all of the Osir Banah. And that would have conveyed the message. And that would have been a much shorter version. Umikach Sheshinsa din ze benifrad, instead of swallowing it up together with Chametz Tov Zmano and saying that Tov Zmano is also even by Noah, it sets up a separate sentence here that Mishosh Osir Bachil Osir Bano Mashma Shebal Lechadish Osir Bano Af Lifnei Pesach Vizet Dafka Ladas Rabbi Yehuda Shechametz Osir Af Lifnei Pesach. Now he quotes a Ramban here, Afal Pisha Osir Achomitz Bano Midrabbanan Be'erev Pesach. Ah, so he says, you know, you could say that on a Drabbanan level, Chomitz is Osir both Bachila and Bano on Erev Pesach, and therefore the last sentence in the Brisa could reflect even Rav Shimon, Umishash Osir Bachila, meaning Midrabbanan, Osir Af Bano Midrabbanan. That's the Ramban's problem here. And he says, "Yef shalomar al erev Pesach shu shaa she'osur bano." Mishum shabraiso sekes bisurei Torah. Ah, so Ramban has a technicality here, and he says that the whole subject of this braiso, from beginning to end, is doraisa. Therefore, although it would work out according to Rav Shimon on a derabbanon level, but the braiso is not addressing derabbanons. And then he writes, Gamla das Rabbi Shimon Osir Achomitz Bahano Be'erev Pesach Midrabbanon. Fine. Okay. That's what we need for our purposes. So Rabbi said, let's just summarize.
I didn't know you spelled it.
When it comes to the Machlokas Shin Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, so we have Machlokas about Chomitz. What was the language? Lifnei Zmano and Liachar Zmano. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda has an Isur Chomitz Doraisa Lifnei Zmano and Liachar Zmano, that's the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon holds that on a Doraisa level, Chomitz Lifnei Zmano Liachar Zmano is Mutter. And then the Gemara points out that according to Rabbi Yehuda has an Isur Achilas Chomitz on Erev Pesach, that Isur Achila on Erev Pesach includes even an Isra Hanno. That's what the Brisa means when it says Mishosh Asav Achila Asar Banno. Who are we missing now? Remember, we had three Tanoim. Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That's the next part of the Brisa. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Tma Al Atzmecha. Now, the Lashon of Tma Al Atzmecha, which is going to again be problematic here, but let's just understand what it means and when it's used. Tma Al Atzmecha means that you're involved in some sort of a contradiction. The very premise that you're operating with is impossible to maintain. Heich chametz aser v'ano kol shiva. How could it possibly be?
Who's he talking to? He's talking to
both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, because both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree that during the chag, the law is that what?
Kares.
That chametz, not only kares, but it's even aser v'ano.
Yeah.
Correct, even aser v'ano. I mean, again, Rabbi Yehuda went even further. He said even chametz on Erev Pesach and after Pesach aser v'ano. That far, Rabbi Shimon wouldn't have gone. However, at least on Pesach, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree that chametz is also not only b'achil, but also b'hano. And Rabbi Yossi says to them, Toma al atzmecha. How can you say such a thing? Now, let's go slowly. What do you mean, Tom al Atzmecha? Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if you remember back on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, derived from the Pasuk Lecha that Lecha means Shelcha. Whenever the Torah says Lecha, Lechem, it means that you're allowed to have Hano from it. That was the Sugi back on Daf Chav Gimel. So what's this Tom al Atzmecha? Okay, Rabbi Yossi Aglili has a drasha, and the Chachamim are not committed to that drasha. They'll derive other things from the pasuk lecha. For example, the Chachamim say lecha iyatoroa avla toroa shal achirim shal gavah, that you're not allowed to have your own chametz in your possession, but the chametz of a guy or the chametz of hegdesh you're allowed to keep in your possession. So, what's the tam al atzmecha? So I want to share with you a chiddush here of one of the Achronim, and it's embellished by the Sfasemis as well. Why does Rabbi Yossi Aglili say Tam al Atzmecha? As if the other Tanoim, in this case both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, are involved in some sort of contradiction in terms, a logical contradiction. The answer is the following. The Torah says that you're not allowed to have possession of chametz. Well, I got news for you, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili. If chametz is aser b'ano, that's not called possession. There are halachic definitions of what it means to own something. We have a principle called isurei hano eino mama, which means that something that's aser b'ano you can't own. Ownership in halachic terms is defined by the ability to use and benefit from the object. If a person is bereft, if he's stripped of any ability to use the object, then the male, it's not his. He, you know, it's a contradiction in terms to say A and B at the same time. A, I own an object, and B, I'm enjoying from using and benefiting from the object. Those two are irreconcilable. If the Torah says that I cannot enjoy any benefits from the object, it means it's not mine. And the source for this is a Gemara in Bava Kama about Shara Niskal. The Gemara says that Shara Niskal, after the Gemara Din, even before the animal is taken out to be stoned, is Osir Bano, and it says there, Mecharo Eino Machur. He can't sell it. So the Rishonim say, why can't he sell it? The answer is because he doesn't own it to sell it. Why doesn't he own it? He bought the shor with his with good money. But the answer is, once it's Osir Bano, is Isurei Hano Lav Mama. You cannot have ownership over Isurei Hano. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi Aglili asks the Rabbanon, and again, when I say Rabbanon here, I mean Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, how do you make sense out of an Isra Anon Chametz when the Torah says that you're not allowed to possess Chametz? Well, what do you mean you're not allowed to possess Chametz? How can you possibly possess Chametz? No way, no how, because it's also by law, according to you. Vaistois, what conclusion do we have to derive? That chametz pesach is mutar b'hanan. And if it's mutar b'hanan, then I own the chametz. Are you with me?
No, I haven't followed the logic.
I'll try it again. There's a principle called, if you could jot it down, save me, or memorize it, Isurei hanah lav mamon. Which means you don't own Isurei hanah. So if something becomes also b'hanan, it's not yours. You can't sell it, you can't do anything with it. If you accept that principle, then Rabbi Yosef Glili makes a lot of sense. The Torah says you're not allowed to possess chametz on Pesach. If you do so, you violate two lavim, bal yirah, bal yimotze. Now, if you can assume that chametz is also b'hanah, then it's impossible to violate bal yirah, bal yimotze. It's a self-contradiction because it's not yours.
Fine, but it's not contradictory, is it? I mean,
how? Well, what's the resolution to that contradiction?
If it's not yours, obviously you can't have hanah from it.
So how can you violate by your own by your mitzvah? The Torah says that if you own the chametz, we're going to hit you with two lavim. The Rambam says you get malchus for those two lavim under certain conditions. I'm not going into that, but the point is that the Torah prohibits you from owning chametz. What do you mean owning chametz? I can't possibly own chametz because the rule is that Isurei hanah lav mamon. The only answer to this problem, says Rabbi Yosef Glili, is that chametz is mutar b'hanah. So it's not just that the fact that the Torah says lo yiro l'cha chametz means shalcha, that it must be yours, which means you're allowed to benefit from it. You can feed it to your dog, you can sell it to a guy, whatever benefits you want to get. It's more than just a drasha. It's the very logic that underlies lo yiro l'cha, namely that you violate this lav, two lav, right, because you possess the chametz. What do you mean possess the chametz? I can't possibly possess the chametz if it's also about Noah. Like the Gemara says in Baba Kama Batshar Niskal, that since it's also mine, no, I can't possess it, I can't sell it, it's not mine. So let's say, for example, if I have Isurei hanah and you would destroy it, I can't sue you for damages. I don't own that object, it's also mine, no. So how can the Torah turn around and say, well, you own the chametz, and therefore you violate two Isurei? Now, the answer to Rabbi Yossi Aglili is written in a brisa of Rabbi Eliezer. And this you'll see, I think it's on Daf Hayam and Beis. Unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me. Oh yeah, I can use this one. I'll just read to you a Gemara that we learned, I don't know how long ago. When did we start the Sefer Pesachim? It's already a good 3 months ago, no?
Yeah.
And the Gemara says the following. Daf Vavam and Beis. And this is about 5 lines up from the bottom of Daf Vav Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shnei Dvarim Einam Bershusa Shel Adam, Vasan HaKasuv, and here I want you to underline the next word, Ke'ilu, Heim, it should be Heim Bershusa, V'elu Heim, Bar Bershus HaRav HaChomis Mishay Shal Salamal. Now watch what happens here. Let's take a case of a Bar Bershus HaRav. We have a concept called Mamon HaMasik. If my possessions damage you, you can sue me for compensation. Let's say, for example, I own a shor, and the shor goes out, and he's no gaff, and he destroys Shane, Karen, Regal, whatever it is. You can demand payment from me. What if I dig a bar? Okay, so look, if I dug a bar in my backyard, and you fall in, or your shor falls into my bar, well, I'm not going to be chayif for that. Who asked you to go into my backyard? You were trespassing. Ella what? Where did I dig the bar? The Torah says I'm chayv for in Rishus HaRav. Well, where's Mamon HaMasik? I don't own the bar of Rishus HaRav. Very nice, I dug a hole in the middle of the public thoroughfare, but that's not mine. Says Rabbi Lazar, Asan HaKosov Ke'ilu Hein Bershuso. The Torah gives you a quasi-bilus and says it's yours as far as the Zikin is concerned. Now Rabbi Lazar comes up with another case where it's not yours, but the Torah says it's as if it's yours, and that's Chametz on Pesach. Chametz is not yours. Why? Because it's also Ranah. And if it's not yours, how can you violate Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze? And the answer is Asan HaKosov Ke'ilu Hein Bershuso. Here's where Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagrees. The whole machlokas here between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim revolves around this issue. Do I accept this principle of Rabbi Lazar of Ke'ilu, Asan HaKosov Ke'ilu Hein Bershuso? Rabbi Yossi Aglili couldn't tolerate that. What do you mean Asan HaKosov Ke'ilu Hein Bershuso? The Torah is saying that I possess and I own this Chametz, and therefore I violate the law. In order to own the chametz, I have to be able to have hanah from the chametz. Hence, chametz must be mutar b'hanah. Chachamim, when I say chachamim, I mean Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon in our brisa, they hold that Asana cause of Gilaim Bershuso. The Torah creates this fictitious bilus as if you own it. You really don't own it. You own it only as far as Bal Yiroa Bayimotzi is concerned. And this, by the way, again, this is more for my 1145 class than the Inship, but this is the basis for the Ramban's understanding of Bittul. Bittul is not Hefker. Bittul is Eino Rotza B'Kiyum. It's some sort of a mechanism which the Torah gave you so that when it's Asana because of Ki'ilu Ein Bershu, so that's conditional on the fact that you're willing and eager to accept that ownership. But if you reject that ownership through Bittul and you say, Hashem, I know you want to give me back the Chumas, but I don't want it. Thanks, but no thanks. That somehow circumvents the problem of Asana Ein Kershu.
What about back to 17? You've got rid of your comments. You've also done this thing where you nullified any comments that it happens to be in your possession. And on Chol Moed, a weasel brings comments into your rishos. What is the position there? Has it been nullified already, or does it still exist?
Okay, so a lot of different paragraphs here to answer you, but let's assume that this chometz that I find, like you say, the weasel brought in on Chol Hamoed, doesn't interest me at all.
Correct.
So in that case, there's only a derabbanan. What's the derabbanan? The derabbanan are afraid that if we allow you to leave this chometz around, you might come to eat it. So therefore, they said one of two things. If it's Chol Hamoed, destroy it. And if it's yontif, you can't destroy it, but you kofel of a sakli, you have to cover it with a kli. That's all on a rabbinic level. On a doraisa level, let's say you find this chametz, the weasel brought it, or it fell from the rafters, wherever it is. And, you know, you're looking at it, and wow, that's a nice piece of pastry, you know. And for that one moment in time, you're sort of hoping that after Pesach, you know, you'll be able to eat it. That becomes a doraisa problem. And then it could be that that moment of hesitation somehow undermines your bittul. It's mevatel your bittul. So again, there are a lot of different dimensions to your question. But the bottom line is, we now have machlokes shin Rav Yosi Aglili and the Rabbanon. What to do with chametz on Pesach? The Rabbanon, and when I say the Rabbanon, I mean Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon alike. There's no argument about this. They both agree that chametz on Pesach is completely out of your purview. There's nothing you can do with it. You cannot eat it, for sure. And that even Rav Yosef Glili agrees. You can't feed it to your dog. You can't sell it. You can't have any benefit from whatsoever from it. And why? Again, according to Chizkiyos, because the Torah says lo ye achel, and according to Rabbi Avo, whenever the Torah says achil, it means hanor. Comes over Rabbi Yosef Glili, says name, tov al atzmacha. And Rabbi Yosef Glili would say that on Pesach I'm allowed to take this chametz and I can feed it to my dog. I can sell it to a guy.
You know what Rabbi Yosef Glili would say relative to lot, like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon relative to
That we don't know. You know, that would be a flip of coin. Does he accept Rabbi Yehuda? Does he accept Rabbi Shimon?
We don't know from this.
But again, you know, we have a major problem with Rabbi Yosef Aglili, because the Torah says about chametz, tashbisu. What does tashbisu mean? Destroy it. Why does the Torah tell me destroy it? I mean, it's mutar b'hanah.
It's baltashkes.
Okay, called baltashkes. But the Torah would never say to me to destroy something that I'm allowed to benefit from. Let me feed it to my dog. So the best I can do with that is that according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, if let's say I burn my chametz, I'm allowed to use that fire as fuel for my pot. I can heat up my, my hopefully pesedik cholent, you know, on top of the pot, on top of this fire. That now we hold again, you know, this touches on a machlokas about shvach etzim v'pas. But let's assume you remember that Shmuel went out of his way to point out that we paskin like Rebbe. And he even switched the names. If you, I don't know, Michael, were you here when we spoke about that? Anyway, he switches the names around. Shmuel, to make sure that
I wouldn't have liked that.
Yeah, you would have liked that, right? Yeah, we had a discussion about Midrash Sheker Tirchak. But anyway, he switches around the names to make sure that people understand that the halacha is like Revi, because he claims it was the Chacham, but it was that Yeshvach Eitzim V'Pas. So let's say I hold Yeshvach Eitzim V'Pas, which means that I'm not allowed to benefit from a fire that comes from Chametz, or from any. So the Gemara there is talking about Klipei Arla, or Kashel Klaya Kerem. And the Gemara is going to talk about Eitzim Shel Avodah Zarah. In all these cases, if I light the wood as fire, and the wood is also Manah, and Chametz the same, then if the fire goes directly into my my cooking, my pot, and it cooks my pot, that's awesome. According to Yosef Agli, that would be Mutter. I could take chametz and use it as fuel. Why? Because the Torah says tashbisu. Okay, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm burning the chametz. Wait a minute. You're benefiting from the chametz. You're not allowed to benefit from the chametz. Yeah, you're allowed to benefit from the chametz. Because Rav Yossi Aglil says that chametz is mutter man.
No. At what exact time are you doing this?
Let's say Erev Pesach, if you all like Rabbi Yehuda.
When? Before
Chatzos. After Chatzos. Let's go like Rabbi Yehuda. That Chometz is Osir Ba'achila U'Ba'hanam Midoraisa on Erev Pesach. And just to make sure that we cut out any complications. Here would be the Machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Aglil. Rabbi Yehuda would say, burn the Chometz on Erev Pesach, be Makai in the midst of Tashbisu, and don't you dare benefit from that fire. Because Yeshvach Eitzim V'Pas. Rabbi Yosef Aglil would say, put your pot on top of the fire and have a blast.
So we say that during Pesach itself, you find piece of chametz on Pesach, and so Yitzchak is going to burn it, but he's going to use it to warm himself up from it.
Well, let's just think. Yeah, L'chori, you're right. The difference between, I gave one example, you're giving maybe even a more common example, that instead of using a fire for heating up your
he puts it in the...
Yeah, I'll tell you why, Osha. Again, you're 100% right. The only reason I'm hesitant is because you have to know a lot more about Yisuri Anon than we know. If you warm up your body, I don't know if that's a violation of Yisuri Anon. Again, Midrabbanan is for sure also, but I'm talking on a Daraisa level. You remember we had a sugya about kol marav reach?
Yeah.
So that sugya was all about what I call intangible hanoah. In other words, if I take chalev of shar niskal, right? Chalev of shar niskal, which is also hanoah, and I use it on my body as a salve or whatever it is, that's called iser hanoah. The only thing is whether it's kedarko or shalo kedarko. You remember that?
Right.
But that's called iser hanoah. You know, let's say. But if I benefit from the heat that's being generated from Yisra Hanoah, that might be, again, I don't know. Again,
possibly the whole thing with Pasta is Yisra Hanoah from the, we're getting a Hanoah from.
Right, so that's called Yeshvach Eitzim V'Pas.
Yeah.
Again, what you have to know about, you have to know what that means, Yeshvach Eitzim V'Pas. But I don't know about heating up. You know, again, I'm sorry. I only mentioned this because you raised the issue.
Okay.
I'm not sure what Yisra Hanoah means. You know, again, we would probably be well advised to be a little inhibited about saying anything about Yisra Hanoah until we know exactly what constitutes Yisra Hanoah. Because as I said, Kol Mav Reach. Yeah, at least in the Havamina of the Gemara, the Maskon of the Gemara says the Reach is different, but in the Havamina of the Gemara, the Gemara says if I smell the incense of Avodah Zarah, that might not be an Yisra Hanoah at all. Or maybe it is an Yisra Hanoah, it's not Me'ila. Again, you know, these are complicated matters.
Rabbi, you've confused me. Does Rabbi Yossi say that you can possess chometz? I know you can benefit from chometz.
Well, the problem is the Torah says to you to destroy the chametz.
So then how can he possess it? And if he can't possess it, how can he burn it?
Well, no. It works like this. He violates possession if he doesn't burn it. If he burns it, then he protects himself from this violation of possession. So the Torah says like this. Lo yirah lecha chametz, right? Even though you own this chametz, it's mutar b'hanoah, you're not allowed to possess it. And the Torah says destroy it. Destroy it, and don't possess it. If you don't destroy it and you continue to possess it, then you violate Bal Yerua Bal Yemotze. So then I asked, if that be the case, how can you benefit from the Chometz? I mean, after Rabbi Yosef says that you're allowed to benefit from the Chometz. So the Torah is telling me I can't possess it, I have to destroy it, and I can benefit from it. The answer is, as I'm destroying it, I can benefit from it. That's the chaf of Rabbi Yosef.
The only time that you can benefit from it is in its destruction.
Exactly.
Even on Pesach.
Yeah, that's what Asher points out. Lechor, it should be even on Pesach. I gave the example of Erev Pesach, but Lechor, logically, it should be on Pesach itself. I may have to change my mind after we finish the sugya, but right now, for our purposes.
Okay.
Fair enough. Now, at this point in the sugya, the Brisa is going to give us what's called a maso matan, meaning a back and forth, a dialogue between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Chometz Kodem Zmano and Chometz Li'achar Zmano. Uminayin li'ochel Chometz Mishay Shol Salamal Shi Over Belosa Seh. How does Rabbi Yehuda derive the conclusion that there's a Losa Seh that enjoins us in the Torah from eating Chometz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos? Shenemar Lo sochal olav chametz. Okay, so now we should really open up a chumash here, or maybe we have at least the Torah Or. Did your Gemaras have this Torah Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the Torah Or it says lo sochal olav chametz. Right, lo sochal olav chametz. No, we're going to have to actually open up the pasuk. Let's just see. Oh, you see, everything is minas shamayim. I usually put back the chumash, but yesterday I forgot to put this back. Okay, so let's see if we can open up. Where is it? Tesvav. Okay, Dvarim Tesvav. You Gimel?
Yeah,
Gimel. Okay, let's see. Let's see what happens over here. Oh, no, I'm in the wrong place here. Just a second, what am I doing wrong again? Maybe it should say Tezayin? Maybe it should say?
Tezayin.
Oh, okay, Tezayin. Okay. Tezayin. Okay, just give me a second here. Tezayin. Tezayin. Where are you? I'm almost there. I will say, have a little patience and let me find it. Oh, here it is. You see, we're reading the pasuk that's quoted here in the Gemara in the Brisa of Lo Sochal of Chometz. What we're not seeing is the pasuk before that. And the pasuk before that, which is pasuk Beis in Perek Tezayin, says Vizavachta Pesach Lashem. What does Vizavachta mean? Shchita. Means Shchita. Right? The biblical word for Shchita is Zevach, is Zvicha. Zvicha equals Shchita. So we're talking about Shchita HaPesach. And the next Pesach, in the next pasuk, I'm going to play a game with you. I'm going to leave out a word. Okay, nobody should say that I'm misquoting because I'm leaving out a word. Lo sochal chametz shivasyom. But that's not what it says. It says lo sochal olav chametz. Now the olav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going back on the previous pasuk. And the previous pasuk says vizavachto pesach. Now Rabbi say, what is the earliest time for this? Exactly, chatzos and erev pesach. That's when we shech the carbon pesach. And on that the Torah says lo sochal olav chametz. And therefore, the Olav teaches me that the Torah here is adding a little piece of time to the Shivas Yamin. You read it like this: Lo Sochal Olav, meaning at the moment of Zvichas HaPesach, which is formulated in the previous pasuk, and Shivas Yamin, and the following 7 days. So you start with Erev Pesach Chatzos Hayom, from then on till the end of Pesach, there's an Iser of what? Of Achilas Chometz. And again, whenever the Torah says Achil, it also means Hanah. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So again, if a person eats Chometz according to Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, and there were Edim and Asra, what do we give him? Malchus. We give Malchus. He's violating the law in the Torah. Oh, lo, Reb Shimon, v'chiyef shel lomar kein. Are you really making any sense that the word olav goes back on the zvicha, the shechita of the Pesach? V'lo kfar nemar. In the same pasuk, it says lo sochal olav chometz shivas yomim tochal olav matzahs. So there's a mitzvah of eating matzah, and again the pasuk says what? Olav. Now you're going to have to be consistent that the word olav goes back on the Zman HaPesach. Are you going to tell me now that there's a mitzvah of eating matzah on Erev Pesach? In fact, by the way, we don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. But that's a different reason. That's a rabbinic reason of Kabbalah Rusosa. But certainly no one argues that there's a mitzvah achilas haPesach, kodem haPesach. The Torah says, "Ba'erev tochlu matzah," so in the nighttime. So how can you take the second olav and assume that the second olav, like the first olav, is going back to the korban Pesach? So now Rav Shimon has to address the following question. So what is olav refer to? In Kate Ma Talmud Loma, what does it mean lo sochel olav chometz? Which sounds like it's referring to the moment of Shchitas HaPesach. And he says the following. He says, Raya Lekach, I'm just reading he gives you a summary of the Rashi here. He says, Od Raya Lekach, Shalav al achilas chomitz hugak mi leil chag ha-pesach, Sharei hukshu beposuk ze iso chomitz ve-achilas matzah. So in other words, first Reb Shimon argues, well, I'll prove to you that the word olav could not possibly generate an Isra Achilas Chometz on Erev Pesach L'Shat Shechita because we have olav a second time in the same pasuk. Now, furthermore, the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat Chometz, and then the Torah says Shivas Yom you have to eat Matzah. So we have a certain hekesh here between the Isra of Achilas Chometz and the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. And what do we derive from that hekesh? B'sha sheyeshno b'kum echol matzah, during any time period where the Torah commands you to eat matzah, yeshno b'bal tochal chometz. By virtue of this equation, the time limitation for the Isra Achilas Chometz is the same as the time limitation for Achilas Matzah, which is Shivas Yomim. If the Torah doesn't command you to eat matzah, for example, Erev Pesach, is Eino Bebal Tochal Chometz. There's no lav of Achilas Chometz. Now notice that Rabbi Shimon never really addresses head on the question of olav. You know, what do we do with the word olav according to Rabbi Shimon? Correct? But maybe he's saying that the word olav is just being used as a kind of a hekesh here to compare the olav to the olav of matzah. That when it says lo sochel olav chametz, it means olav when you're obligated in the olav of Shivas Yom and tochel matzahs, to tell you that the Isra Achilas chametz it overlaps and is limited by the mitzvah of Achilas matzah. In any event, the Braisa continues. And we want to know now, what's the explanation for Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, at this particular moment, the Gemara now wants to know which Tana of the three Tanaim that we have in our Braisa would be reflected in our Mishnah. So Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has an isolav kodem haPesach and an isolav liachar haPesach. So if that be the case, our Mishnah, right, our Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches Amud Alef could be a reflection of the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, if we understand the logic of Rabbi Yehuda. And Shal Yisrael Asur Ba'adna, fine, let's see. So he says the following, there are tlosa kroi ksive. Okay, now we have to put on our drasha hat here. The Torah repeats the Isra Achilas Chometz not once, not twice, but thrice. It says, number one, Lo Ye'ochel Chometz. Number two, it says, Kol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu. And number three, it says, Lo Sochal Olav Chometz. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is bothered by the fact, why did the Torah have to repeat the Isra Achilus Chametz three times over? We have a similar Gemara, if you remember, about Lo Savashal Gedi Machalev Imo, why the Torah repeats it three times. So the Gemara says one is for Isra Achilo, one is Isra Bishol, one is Isra Anah. Says Rabbi Yehuda, then why do we need three times? Chad, lifnei zmano chad, liachar zmano chad, litoch zmano. So we need a lav for Erev Pesach, after Chatzos. We need a lav for Yom Tov itself, and a lav for liachar zmano. Liachar zmano means chomet she'ovalov ha-Pesach. Rav Shimon. Now the ball is in Reb Shimon's court. I mean, the Torah went out of its way to repeat Lo Yochal Chametz three times. Why did the Torah have to do that? Just one second. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just noticed something here about a Pnei Yoshua. Masha Huskad Torah Lichtov Olov. Oh, wow. I'm not sure what this means, but I'm just going to tell you that he quotes a Pnei Yoshua, that according to Rabbi Shimon, the word olav in this pasuk that we started with is telling you about the Zman Achilas HaPesach. So I'm a little bit bothered why do we need that? Maybe Torah is telling me, just give me one second, that if I'm eating the Korban Pesach, I'm not allowed to have chametz. No, I'm not sure I understand this Pnei Yoshua. You understand this Pnei Yoshua?
I understand, but yeah. According to Rav Shimon, so what's the olav?
Right.
It's olav, when do you eat the Korban
Pesach? At night.
Can you have chametz in that? No. So he says, Moso ha'olav.
Right, but why do I need a separate Isra Achila Bizmana Pesach? I mean, I know the Isra Achila from many other places in the Torah. Now, if you're talking about the second olive, that's very good, right? Because the second olive means that I eat the matzah with the Korban Pesach. But I don't know why you have a separate Isra Achila B'Shasa Pesach. Anyway, maybe it's just Lafuke Rabbi Yehuda, as we said before. So again, now we're stuck. According to Rabbi Shimon, where his sheet is that the Torah never prohibited me from achil on Erev Pesach or Liachar Pesach. So why does the Torah repeat Lo Yeachel, Lo Sochelu, Lo Sochal? Oh. So he says the following. Rabbi Shimon, Chad L'Toch Zman. Oh, okay, that's good. And then we have a Chol Machmetzes, Lo Sochelu, Mi Boile, L'Chesanya, Eli Elish and Ischamis Me Elov, Machmas Dover Acher Minai. Okay, so now we have two categories of Chametz. We have one category of Chametz which is called Nischamis Me Elov, and then we have another category of Chametz which is called Machmas Dover Acher. Now, I thought before I saw Tosfos, you see this Tosfos Dibri Raskal Machmas Dover Acher, I thought it was referring to CR. Right? There are two ways of a dough rising and fermenting. One is to allow the dough, after you put the water into the flour, and you mix it all together, then there's a natural process of fermentation. And then there's something called CR. CR is where you add into the mixture a fermenting agent, some sort of chemical substance that causes chimutz. But Tosfos says that can't be pshat. Why? Because if it's al yidei sa'ar, then Tosfos says mikri chametz tfei. That's even worse chametz. Mishen es chametz me elov. And for this, you have to learn a sugya menachos. You know, there's certain menachos that have to be brought matzah. And you cannot be machamitz them. If you machamitz them, then you violate a lav do rice. And the Gemara says there that the lav do rice that you violate is when you put CR into the mixture, and that's when you violate the lav. So Tosfos tells me that what does it mean? It's chametz al yidei acher. Tosfos tells me they shimrei yayin. Ella, you see the last couple lines in Tosfos. Ella kagon shenis chametz al yidei shimrei yayin. Shemiyabshim Hashmorim Bitanur Kach Osim Beretz Ashkenaz. So I never actually visited Eretz Ashkenaz. So I didn't see this with my own eyes. But apparently in Eretz Ashkenaz, what they do is they take on the, you know, when the wine settles down, and there are shmarim, there are sediments, and they take the sediments and they dry it in an oven, and it becomes a fermenting agent. Okay, you have to know more about the chemistry here than I know for sure. But in any event, that's what we have over here. That's called Al Yidei Dover Acher. So how do we know that when the Torah prohibits achila of chametz, it includes even a case of chametz shenis chametz Al Yidei Shimrei Yayin shenis yavshu betanur? Tamulom kol machmetzes lo sochelu. So the Torah adds a separate lav to include even chimutz shenis chametz Al Yidei Dover Acher. Me boil it. No. So now we have a third pasuk. V'lo ye'ochel chametz. So what is Reb Shimon going to do with the pasuk lo ye'ochel chametz? Because according to Reb Yehuda, the pasuk lo ye'ochel chametz is chametz li'achar zmano. But according to Reb Shimon, who holds that chametz li'achar zmano is not also belav, so why did the Torah have to say lo ye'ochel chametz? So the Gemara answers, L'chidesanya, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. Now keep in mind, this Rabbi Yossi Aglili that we're about to learn has nothing to do with Rabbi Yossi Aglili's statement, which we had above, about chametz being mutabana. It happens to be the same Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but lo kashur, as we say. What does Rabbi Yossi Aglili say? Minayin lepesach Mitzrayim, right, on their way out of Mitzrayim, our ancestors celebrated Pesach. She'ein chimutzo noeg el yom echad bilvad. In other words, the day that they left Mitzrayim, which was the 15th of Nisan, there was an Isur chametz. You're not allowed to eat chametz. But after that, meaning for the balance of the 7 days, from day two and on, they would be allowed to eat chametz. And how does he know that? Talmud Lomar v'lo ye'ochel chametz v'samach le immediately after lo ye'ochel chametz, the pasuk says Hayom atem yotzim. So we take these two psukim and we conjoin them, and we say, when is it lo ye'ochel chametz? Hayom atem yotzim, on today, the 15th of Nisan, which is the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's called Hayom atem yotzim. Then lo ye'ochel chametz. But there's no Isur Chametz, again, only it was only to get to that year, beyond the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
So you're saying they were only forbidden to eat Chametz on the first day. So why are we keeping it for 7 days? I know the Torah says so, but why would the Torah say that if, you know, the whole thing is, I thought we're doing it. Because
I would ask the opposite question, Michael. I would say, why was there a heter for them to eat chametz the rest of Pesach? And probably it has to do with the conditions of going through the midbar and so forth and so on. Let's just see if anybody, I'm going to look and see if he explains why they were allowed to eat chametz.
So that's generally accepted.
I don't know. I don't see any footnote. Maybe you have a footnote there.
Generally accepted.
What do you have, Asher, in front of you? You have a regular Gemara.
I have an article, maybe see something.
See if by any chance the art scroll adds anything here. Why would the Torah allow the Yotzei Mitzrayim to eat chametz the balance of Pesach?
It just quotes the Mishnah on the.
You have the Mishnah on Sadiva?
No, just
no, but I'm asking, Michael, in your volume, you have it? No. You have it? A Mishnah on Sadiva?
Yes.
David, you have such a thing?
No, it's not.
No, it's, how many stars are at this one? Only two. Ah, so you need 3 stars for that. All right. So, both, I know that Pesach Mitzrayim is a sugya. I'm not familiar with the sugya. It's much later on in the Masechet Pesachim. But if you write me an email, I'll try to research it. I'm just going to probably forget. But he says the following: For Rabbi Yehuda, machmas dover acher minole. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that the Isur Chametz includes kol machmetzes, meaning even something that you use the Shmari Yayin Shinesi Abshu to generate the Chimutz. After all, the Torah says, Kol Machmetzis Lo Sochelu, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to tell you that Chometz is also even Liachar Zmano. So he doesn't have this Pasuk free to derive Machmas Tovar Acher. So Gemara answers, Menafki Rachman Loshen Machmetzis. Thus here the Torah not only added a second Isra Chila to include even Liachar Zmano, but it also uses a strange term. We never had the word Machmetzes. Until now we had the word Chametz. Right? Lo Sochal Chametz, Lo Yochel Chametz. What's Kol Machmetzes? And Kol Machmetzes means any agent that generated the fermentation. So Memela, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no need for an extra pasuk here for Al Yidei Dover Acher. He derives from the word Machmetzes, and the extra pasuk is justified by adding another time period in which the Torah prohibits Achilas Chametz. Now the Gemara asks the following question. If Rabbi Yehuda darshens all three psukim for the Isur Chametz, whether it's Lifnei Zmano, Liachar Zmano, Tov Zmano, is the Rabbi Yossi Aglili Minole? How's he going to know that Chametz in the Yotzei Mitzrayim was mutter for the balance of Pesach beyond the first day? And it seems that the Gemara nems on that this was not an issue. Everybody agrees that the Isur Chametz was only on the first day, but that we derive from an extra pasuk, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have the extra pasuk. Ibois Ema, the Gemara gives two possible answers to this question. Number one, mi desamach le'ayomatem yotzim, meaning enochinami, the pasuk itself is only justified to tell you a new time zone for the Yisrachilus Chametz, but why did the Torah juxtapose it next to the words hayomatem yotzim? It's to teach you that the Yisrach Chametz is limited to, in the case of Yotzei Mitzrayim, to the first day alone. So in other words, he doesn't have to darshan a special pasuk in order to come to the conclusion that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is right, that the Isur Chometz for Yotzei Mitzrayim is limited to the first day. Ibai Seb, another answer is, smuchin lo darish. In other words, he rejects the drasha of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and he holds that even in Pesach Mitzrayim, the Isur Chometz extended for seven days. Okay, Rabbi Osei, so we'll stop here. Let's just make a note of where we got to. Does anybody? Oh, Asha, maybe I'll borrow your pencil just for a second, just to make a little note here. Omar Mar. Okay, then everyone should have a great day.